Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform, Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Crane, Evan Basilik, Suji DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kel Teeter, and Russell Young discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work, and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on Twitter at Azure Podcast.
Welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 402 being recorded on the 10th of November, 2021, with special guest John Engel Chemnitz. I'm Sujit, and on Teams with me, we have Cynthia, Kale, and of course, our special guest, John, who we're going to get to in just a minute. And we're really, really excited to hear what he has to tell us about a new service or a new feature of Azure, which we don't get to discuss very often here on the podcast. So really looking forward to what he has to share with us. But before that, let's just get a quick roundup on the news. I know we had a very hefty week last week with Ignite, so huge deluge of news last week. But still managed to get a few updates in this week. So let's see, Kale or Cynthia, one of you'd like to start on that?
Sure, I'll go first. I just have three. So the first one I have is around, if you haven't got enough information out of Ignite, now we have Azure IaaS Days coming up. So a little less intense than Ignite, I would say, but no, it's a digital event on the 17th of November. And it's a free event, so anybody can register for this. Obviously, it's centered around infrastructure as a service, IaaS type content. So things around VMs and the surrounding services around that. But basically, there's some news that's going to be announced there. Based on the blog post, there's a lot of like customer scenarios that maybe people haven't thought of or are interesting in this space around mission critical applications and otherwise. So take a look at it. It's free. The agenda is posted up there, so you can take a look. So if you just want to dip in for a certain session or whatnot, you can do that. The second one I had here is around database services. It's kind of a general blog post around like keeping people up to date with what's going on with database services in Azure, and it was kind of a recap from Ignite. But it kind of hit home with me because some things we were working on just recently. When you start thinking about hey, I need to run something where I need to store it in a relational or even a NoSQL database, the options in Azure are ridiculous. It's like you have to take some time and kind of figure out and I don't mean it's hard. I just mean there's so many options there. It's really what do you want? Do you want fries with that kind of thing? So figuring out exactly what type of technology you want is probably the key to figuring that out. There's some Microsoft Learn modules up here to help with that because there's quite a few different options up there, as I mentioned, ranging from relational to NoSQL. A lot of this is focused on SQL Server, but really good stuff. So if you need to store data, we got plenty of ways to do it. And the last piece was around supercomputing. So there's a Supercomputing 2021 event that has happened, and Microsoft has released some preview features, including the HBv3 VMs, which have the AMD EPYC processors in them, the third generation ones. So these are really new in the high performance computing space. So things like AI workloads and machine learning and things like that typically are the ones using these kind of things. But there's a great article up here talking about our partnership with AMD, a bunch of different partners we're working with, as well as the virtual machine, the new SKUs that are out there. I love this one thing called Megatron Turing Natural Language Model. That sounds awesome. So we need to look into that. But anyway, take a look.
So I had two updates. Not as cool as Megatron, but .NET 6 has GA'd on app service as well as static web apps. That is one. And the other one, I don't think we mentioned when we went through Ignite News, is that there's now a model of pay-as-you-go for power apps on your Azure Meter. So for people that want to try power apps and don't necessarily want to go into understanding the complexity of licensing for Power Apps, now you can use your Azure Meter for it.
Yeah, and also after Ignite, we had the .NET conference, which actually is going on yesterday and today. And that's when .NET 6 was officially released. And just how quickly the Azure team, you know, has, as Cynthia said, already released support for app services. And then another update that I wanted to highlight is the Azure Monitor team has also released the Application Insights agent for .NET 6 running on, you know, in app services on Linux, where you can get auto instrumentation. So without writing any code, you just attach this agent to your app service and instrument all, you know, it can reflect upon all of the methods that you have in your .NET code and kind of lay out everything for you. So really quick, easy way to get instrumentation in your code just using this feature. And they've already released it for .NET 6. So no reason not to move to .NET 6, I suppose, right now. well, I think that's a good roundup of the news. I think this is a good time to turn the mic over to our special guest, John. John, thank you so much for coming on the Azure podcast. Please go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us what you do, what your passion is, and what your special project is that you've been working on these days.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. So I'm John Engel Chemnitz. I'm a program manager currently working on Azure Chaos Studio, which is a new service that we announced at Ignite. And the purpose of Azure Chaos Studio is it allows you to measure, build, and maintain the resilience of your applications that run on Azure. So this concept of resilience is something we've heard a lot about recently in Azure, which is customers more than ever are moving their mission-critical applications onto Azure. And these are, you know, the customers we are talking to are healthcare companies, emergency services, major financial institutions, right? Where failure is not tolerated, right? If an application goes down and you're, you know, the backbone for the global economy, there's sort of an issue there, right? And Azure's at this phase now where more and more customers are depending on us for running these major mission-critical applications, life-saving applications, all government applications, things like that. And so what Chaos Studio helps you to do is to replicate failures in your environment and be prepared to defend yourself against those should they happen in your production environment in a space where you don't want them to occur. So Chaos Studio is super targeted on this challenge of building resilience and maintaining resilience over time of the applications that you've deployed to Azure.
And John, you know, as a developer, I'd like to understand where should somebody think about things like using Azure Chaos Studio, right? What is the in a typical life cycle of an application? Do you do it at the planning phase, at the architecture phase, or do you say, hey, write your application the best you can and we'll plug it in at the end? Like, what's the best place to think about it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, if we were to look at kind of what the industry tends to talk about when it comes to this concept of chaos engineering and fault injection, you hear a lot about chaos engineering as a production-only scenario, right? There's sort of a mantra that if you're not doing chaos engineering in production, you're not really doing it at all, right? Because nothing is going to look quite like your production environment. At Microsoft, we take a little bit more of a nuanced approach. And in fact, we like to think of there being this continuum of where you can apply fault injection everywhere from what we will call kind of late stage development, anywhere outside of being on box and doing local development environments. As soon as you're in a shared development environment, straight through to pre-production, canary, and in production are all suitable cases. It really kind of depends on your scenario. In these kind of earlier development cycles, this is where doing things like capacity planning, load testing, things where you don't really need any real user traffic to validate resilience, those can all be done in much earlier environments. The other thing you want to actually be doing in earlier development cycles is running the same chaos tests that you're running at or near production to avoid a failure getting into a production build, right? So using chaos engineering and CI/CD, increasingly we hear this term, not just CI/CD, but CI/CD/CV, continuous validation as well, to prevent a regression in resilience. And that then there's the scenarios, I would say a lot of the folks we talk to are running in Azure, they're not ready to go shut down a bunch of stuff, kill virtual machines, fail pods in AKS, fail Cosmos DB, et cetera, in production. Instead, they're thinking about close to pre-production for these scenarios like a game day, right? Where you're saying, hey, major business event is coming up. Like it might be the holiday season if you're a retailer, the tax season if you're a financial institution. And in preparation for one of those, you go and scale up load on the system, and then you start injecting failures to say, hey, can our service recover from anything? Because during this business critical time of year that's coming up, we want to have defended against every possible incident and or outage that we can think of. So there's a huge variety of use cases, and they really span everywhere from the developer who's writing code and getting it deployed to a small scale dev environment, straight through to a, you know, thousands of microservices interacting at scale in production.
John, kind of following up on that question, from a developer standpoint, if I'm relatively new, what do I know what to test for? Does the Chaos Studio kind of walk me through a couple of different options or like pre-select things that I should probably watch out for?
It doesn't yet. And I'll say yet because this is something we've already in our first week of being public have heard a lot of feedback about. And it's something that we've been working with our private preview customers who are a part of the early stage development with us on is sort of what are the most common, what we might call failure scenarios, right, for Azure? And these are things like, what happens if a region goes down? What happens if a zone becomes unavailable? What if there's a noisy neighbor? What if suddenly there's high latency in API calls from storage? And so we're still building out what we think those common scenarios are. Our intent is to have templates available for these most common experiments. A chaos experiment, the center of Chaos Studio, it sort of orchestrates what you're going to fail and when you want to fail it. Those are just resources in Azure. And so it's easy enough for us to create sample ARM templates that then you can just deploy, update with the set of resources you want to target, and then you'll be ready to go with some of those common failures. But common failures we hear about, yeah, a lot of network. We have a set of faults available that target like DNS especially. That's really popular. Active Directory, of course, Azure Active Directory comes up frequently in our discussions. One thing that we can do there is we can do things like disconnect network or limit access to a specific network endpoint. And so if you're looking to say, hey, Active Directory is down or flaky or something, you can actually take the specific set of IP addresses, the URLs that would be involved in API calls to Active Directory and limit those, you know, so like we can temporarily inject those into a network security group, into a Windows virtual machine, in a variety of different scenarios in AKS, to basically simulate what would happen if the actual Active Directory service was down.
I feel like Chaos Experiment should be a video game title, but
Chaos Studio, is that we've gotten a lot of positive feedback about the name. So one person on Twitter had to say, what did they say? We also use the term controlled chaos, and they were saying, my gosh, the terminology, it sounds like a marketer got their hands on that.
No, seriously. So like one question I had about this, so folks who would do it in production, let's say, and actually use some of these experiments in their production workloads. So I'm thinking about like a big enterprise, right? Let's say they have thousands or tens of thousands of resources and all kinds of support staff. How do they know that chaos, you know, my chaos experiment caused this thing? It's not really an outage or not something that's like a real failure that actually happened? Or shouldn't I think about it that way? Should I think about it just like a real failure, you know?
Yeah, you know, that is I like the way you put it at the end there, which is we are sort of thinking ahead to some ways that we can give better indicators when a chaos experiment is going on, like in the Azure portal. One thing that we have available is some integration with Azure Application Insights, where we can put all the experiment events that are happening into App Insights. So if you're looking at observability data and you start to see a big dip in availability, you could go and look at those chaos logs and see, oh, there's an experiment going on. And there's more to come there in terms of our integration with observability. One use case that we actually haven't touched on yet for chaos engineering is verifying that your lifecycle process works. So sometimes you inject a failure simply to check, does the right designated person get assigned to the case? Do they have the correct troubleshooting guides? Did we have the correct alerts and monitoring data available to detect it? And did we know how to remediate? Was there automation in place? Do we need to develop automation to remediate in the case of an outage? So in fact, just validating live site process and tooling is another perfect use case for chaos.
Now, John, let's take a scenario where, you know, I have an application that's already running in Azure in production, and now this brand new thing called Azure Chaos Studio's come around. I'm like, I got to get on that. You know, walk me through what are the steps that we need to do in Azure to kind of connect the, you know, to start looking at what kind of chaos I can put, like what are the resources I need to create? You know, what do I need to connect? And you mentioned experiments briefly. Just kind of what are the high level steps to get me going there?
Yeah, so Chaos Studio, it's a new section in the Azure portal. And if you head over there, there's kind of two core parts of using Chaos Studio. The first is what we call targets and target management. This is basically onboarding resources to Chaos Studio. So before you can target a resource for fault injection, the resource has to be onboarded as a chaos target. And then once it's onboarded, actually, we'll automatically do this in the portal, is we will onboard what we call the capabilities for the resource. And capabilities are really the specific fault types, the actions that you can do on that resource. And that's intentional, is we know that people want to, especially think of this like enterprise scenario, a lot of folks are nervous about who can cause what kind of failures and where. So onboarding of the resource has to occur, and then the resource also has to have specific permissions to be able to perform specific types of faults. And that allows you to say, hey, we're okay with high stress, high memory, high CPU faults on virtual machines, but we don't want anybody to be able to do a VM shutdown, right? Because VM shutdown is more destructive than just adding some pressure. Once you've done that onboarding, then you just head over and start to design your experiment. And experiment's an Azure resource, so you would just simply go in, you'd give an experiment name, set it in a resource group and a subscription and a region, and then you get to designing. And the experiment designer is a nice kind of visual way to design the experiment. An experiment is broken out into what we call steps and branches. Steps execute sequentially, and a step can contain one or more branches. Each branch runs in parallel within a step. So this allows you to do things like, first, I want to simultaneously shut down a set of virtual machines and fail over a Cosmos DB instance. And then once both of those complete, then I'm going to go and start applying stress to virtual machines. And this might correspond to a real outage that you had, that where, you know, hey, we rebooted everything and then all of a sudden stress levels started to spike and that caused yet another issue downstream. So it's got this fairly sophisticated method of building up the faults you want to run. Each fault has its own set of parameters, so it depends on the fault type. You know, most have a duration for how long the fault will run. We have one fault, the Azure Cache for Redis reboot fault, that's just a discrete fault, meaning it just reboots, right? There's no kind of continuous operation, but something like a virtual machine shutdown, we will shut it down, and then for the duration of the fault, keep it shut off, and at the end of the fault, we'll reboot it for you, right? So all of them have kind of different parameters around, like an example would be for the virtual machine shutdown fault, we have what's called an abrupt shutdown, and that's the difference between give the virtual machine time to save state, applications to shut down safely, et cetera, versus the VM's dead. We unplugged it from the rack or something like that. So once you do all that and create, you'll create the experiment. There's one additional step that's a safety measure in Chaos Studio. Once you've created an experiment gets a system assigned managed identity in your Active Directory tenant. And that identity must be assigned appropriate permission to each resource targeted in the experiment. So this is another measure of safety that says, even if a user had permission to go and create an experiment, they can run it, but it will fail unless someone with permission to those resources gave the experiment explicit permission to those resources. So once that's done, you can hit start on your experiment. The experiment will start to run. And there's a whole details view you can go into to see your execution history. And for each execution, were there any failures? What's the progress through the various steps and branches and faults?
John, I know you mentioned a lot around VMs. Is Chaos Studio more focused on the IaaS stack, or does that also apply to like PaaS? Can I even test like SaaS applications?
Yeah, it's a growing fault library, right? And we're at the kind of the beginning of our journey. We do have we have two different varieties of faults. One type is an agent-based fault. This is where you install the Chaos Studio agent on a Linux or Windows VM or virtual machine scale set. And we can do anything that would be inside the operating system. So kill a process, change the time, add virtual memory pressure, cause a DNS failure, break the network, something like that. The other variety of faults is what's more unique to Azure is the service direct faults, we call them. And these operate directly against Azure resources, kind of in more of a PaaS service-to-service style. So as an example, we have a set of AKS faults where we can inject network latency, packet loss, we can kill pods, we can fail containers, add stress to specific namespaces. There's a wide variety of options available for AKS. Other Azure services, we have a fault for Cosmos DB, a fault for Azure Redis, Azure Cache for Redis, Network Security Group fault is in that list as well. And that's where I think you'll see our growth continue is in that service direct area. One of our principles is we look at the most recent and most common Azure outages and use that to build out the fault library, right? One of our kind of goal states, and I say this and, you know, I'm not making any commitment for my poor engineering team, but what I would say something that we're thinking about in our long-term future is a world where when Azure has an outage, that root cause analysis comes with an experiment template to go replicate the failure in Chaos Studio, right? So if you're a customer, how could I say, oh, okay, you know, there was some intermittent network issues connecting to Cosmos DB. Well, here's the template for replicating that yourself because you might have been impacted during the outage. Now you can go safely and controlled replicate what happened during the outage to make sure that you have a defense against it.
And just a quick comment on that. I guess on the flip side, if you do hit an outage that somehow you didn't have a fault for, then that would kind of automatically spur your team to say, hey, maybe we need to build a fault for this kind of outage. Sort of like how the unit testing world works, right? Where you build tests whenever you find a fault. Yeah.
Right. You know, and we use an inner source model within Microsoft to build these faults where our team ourselves build a number of them, but we also have contributors, right? Azure Chaos Studio isn't just being used by Azure customers. It's getting used by Azure services to improve our own resilience. So in fact, two of our kind of, if you were to go to our azure.com page, you'll see a whole video about Microsoft Key Vault, the Azure Key Vault team, and the Azure Power Apps team, or the Microsoft Power Apps team. Both of those teams are using Chaos Studio internally today to improve and validate their resilience. Not only are they doing that, they're also intersourcing and contributing back faults to Chaos Studio that then we can make available to every Azure customer. Because, you know, if we don't have a fault that they need, they just go and create it, add it to our library, and then we will obviously we vet it, make sure that it's all working correct and meets expectations, but then absolutely we will ship it as a fault in Chaos Studio.
Hey, John, one question I had was around, you mentioned in the experiments, you have these steps and branches. Is there like conditional logic I can put in there too? Like, for instance, go do this thing. Is there any like smarts in there to say like, and if this happens, then go do this other thing. But if it doesn't, then do this thing, you know, kind of thing.
I wish. It's a super cool like roadmap item, definitely further out than where we are in the product development cycle. The one thing that we do that is just kind of built into how experiments work is that if there's a failure, we will halt the experiment, right? So if there's a failure, and I don't mean the application had a failure. I mean, that might be expected. If Chaos Studio, if a fault for some reason fails, like we go to inject CPU pressure and we can't, we will just halt the experiment because who knows what kind of other things might be happening in the environment. And so it's very easy to stop an in-progress experiment. And in fact, we have some fail-safes in place so that, you know, given an example of an agent losing its connectivity to the service, it's not going to just keep going and going and going and generating CPU. It will immediately halt the operation. But in terms of kind of customer-defined conditional logic, we're not there yet.
But on that last point, though, like I assume that a customer, so if I launch an experiment and it's halfway through the experiment and none of that stuff you just mentioned happens, but I go, oh my God, wait, there's like a marketing thing going on right now. We actually should stop that.
Yeah.
I assume there's a kill switch there where I can like, as the user, like shut that down, right?
Right. The stop, there's always the ability to stop an experiment in progress. And when you do that, any faults will be stopped and that what the fault was doing will be rolled back. So while we can't roll back the healthy state of your application, in fact, part of chaos engineering is validating that when you do have a failure, you can roll back successfully. What we can do is make sure that whatever the fault was doing, we can undo it. So as an example, if we shut down a VM, we can reboot it. If we blocked network connectivity, we can unblock it. And all of those things will happen when you click stop, and they happen within about 30 seconds of clicking that stop button. So pretty quickly, you can halt anything going on in an experiment.
And John, you already mentioned quite a few Azure services that you already support, right? I think you mentioned AKS, App Services, VMs, of course, Redis, I believe you mentioned Cosmos DB as well. Is there anything that you have on your immediate roadmap that you can share today and things that you're working on?
Yeah, so I'll mention a couple of kind of interesting things. I guess the one that I can definitely tell you is coming soon is App Services. That isn't in our list yet, but there is an App Services fault that is expected within the next month or two to be complete. Had to go through a little bit of multiple changes to how we designed the fault. So it didn't hit our public preview, but that one's coming soon. After that, sky's the limit. Really what we do, we prioritize based off of what we're hearing from customers as well as what we're seeing in Azure outages. I encourage folks always to go to feedback.azure.com and there's a dedicated Chaos Studio forum there. And if there's a fault that you'd like to see, create that, upvote the faults that that aren't there yet, because we do take that prioritization directly from customers.
And we always ask this question of any new services, but is there like pricing that developers or customers should be thinking about?
Yeah, so we currently, the service in public preview is free. In April of 2022, we'll start applying a billing model to the service. That billing model will be based off of a price per target action minute. And what that means is that when you run an experiment, each fault can, you know, target multiple resources. And for each minute of fault activity on each resource, regardless of if they're happening in parallel or sequential, we add all of that up to be the total target action minutes for an experiment execution. And there's basically a price per target action minute. I can't tell you what that price is yet, but what I can tell you is that the price that we're setting there is intended not to be a major, you know, revenue accelerator or anything. We're trying to cover cost of the service. The intent of Chaos Studio is to help Azure customers feel more confident in their resilience on the Azure cloud and be more confident that they can ramp up usage of our other services. So I would not expect that when we announce that billing amount, that it'll be anything that is particularly shocking or upsetting.
That sounds great. And what's the quickest way for our listeners to kind of get started on this? Like if somebody wants to, you know, learn about this real quickly, maybe get in a quick experiment going, right, with a test service. I assume there are some resources that you've created as part of the preview.
For sure. Yeah. So I want to say that the best resource, if you just want to get started right away, is aka.ms/chaosstudio.get/started. Chaos Studio Get Started. And that's aka.ms/chaosstudio.get directly to our documentation site to an article that is a quick start. It uses a Cosmos DB failover example. There's also a quick start in the documentation for AKS, for a virtual machine, both agent-based and a service direct fault. So our docs have really good step-by-step go through and use the service for the first time for anyone who might want to get started. If you're looking to learn more about the service, what it offers, you can also go to aka.ms/Azure Chaos Studio, and that will take you to azure.com, where we have those customer stories and more kind of about the key benefits of the service.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for coming on today to talk about Azure Chaos Studio. We're really excited about it. I think this is, I know, I was briefly involved with it in the early days when we were doing piloting. I remember writing those YAML definitions by hand from start, and glad that I don't have to do that anymore. And it's been a great journey. Good to see, you know, your team make this into a solid product. It's been amazing. Kale, is there any last questions for John before we wrap up here?
No, this is great. Love it. It's an awesome service, and it's definitely
really exciting.
It's a new way to think about like things. Yeah. Like I never even thought about that approach of like, hey, let's test to make sure that our runbooks or like our support staff, like the thing actually works, right? Whenever this thing fails, you know, that's super kind of interesting to think about, you know.
Yeah, well, thank you guys, and I'm glad to get an opportunity to talk to you and share a little bit about the product, and I encourage everyone to go give it a try and start giving us feedback. Let us know what we can do. We're excited. This is just the beginning of a lot more to come in this space.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on Twitter at Azure Podcast. Background music has been taken from ccmixer.org. Under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.